Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Personality Speaking. My name is Karen Ward, and I'm a certified personality trainer and speaker, upcoming author, and radio show host. Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationships one personality at a time. We will explore personality-related issues and topics with our various guests. Tonight, we welcome Carolyn Tatum, the author of Marriage from A to Z, to discuss our topic, marrying your personality. Marriage is difficult enough without having the tools to be successful. Whether you believe you are called to be married or you are already married, having tools to be successful is essential to having a healthy, thriving marriage. We really want to hear your thoughts and experiences regarding this topic tonight. Therefore, we'd like for you to comment or ask your question by dialing into the show at 929-477-1876. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Please press 1 to comment or ask your question. You can also comment or ask your questions on my social media pages, which is facebook.com/personalityspeaking, or on twitter.com/PLikePeterERSpeaking. Finally, you can log on to our show online, which is on Blog Talk Radio. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. And we have a chat room, and you can post your comments or questions there. Before we get into the topic of marrying your personality, I would like to give our listening audience a brief overview of the personalities. There are 4 personality styles. 2 are extroverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from other people, you're outgoing. And then there's 2 introverted personality styles, which means you get your energy from within and you kind of keep to yourself. Let's talk about the 2 extroverted personality styles. That's the popular sanguine and the powerful choleric. The popular sanguine, if they had a tagline, would be, "Let's do it the fun way." The sanguine desires to have fun as their primary objective. They tend to be spontaneous and talkative, loud and social. And if you hear me, I'm loud, and if you know me, you know I'm loud. So I am a sanguine. They can also be forgetful and disorganized, egotistical and easily angered. Some examples are Bill Clinton, Kelly Ripa, and Wendy Williams. Then your 2nd extroverted personality style is the powerful choleric. If they had a tagline, it would be, "Let's do it my way." The choleric's desire is to have control as their primary objective. They tend to be strong leaders, decisive, a get-it-done kind of personality, and they exude confidence. But they can also be bossy, impatient, quick-tempered, and inflexible. Some examples are Dr. Phil, Donald Trump, and Judge Judy. Now let's talk about your introverted personality styles. Remember, they get their energy from within. You have the perfect melancholy. If the perfect melancholy had a tagline, it would be, "Let's do it the right way." The melancholy desires to have order or strive for perfection as their primary objective. They tend to be highly intelligent, organized, compassionate, and thoughtful. They can also be prone to depression, moody, remember the negatives, and self-centered. Some examples are President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and Beyonce. Now, the 4th and final personality style, which is also an introverted personality style, is the peaceful phlegmatic. If the peaceful phlegmatic had a tagline, it would be, "Let's do it the easy way." The phlegmatic desires to have peace as their primary objective. They tend to be loyal, easygoing, consistent, and sympathetic. But they can also be uninvolved, unenthusiastic, fearful, and selfish. Some examples are Keanu Reeves, Calvin Coolidge, and Princess Diana. Now, I'm excited about the topic that we're going to be discussing tonight because I have a heart for marriage, and I also have a heart for helping couples you know, get the tools to sustain a healthy relationship in marriage. That would be for singles as well. I would love for singles to be prepared before they make the decision to go into a marriage. That way they're also successful. My husband and I have been married for going on 21 years this October. While it hasn't always been the easiest marriage, I'm glad that we hung in there for the seasons of our marriage that has just been amazing. Now, before I bring my guest on the show, I'd like to introduce her by reading a little bit of her bio. Carolyn Tatum is a native of Washington, D.C. She received her Bachelor's of Science degree in 1990 from Morgan State University. In 1992, she then received her Master's of Science degree from American University in Washington, D.C., so she's a hometown girl. Carolyn is the author and speaker and a teacher. She has a passion for marriage, just like I do, and helping singles to prepare for a successful marriage. We have a lot in common. She wrote her first book in 2010 titled Marriage from A to Z, Principles for a Successful Marriage. 2 years later, she published her second book, The Marriage from A to Z Study Guide. This summer, Carolyn will publish her third book, Marriage from A to Z for Singles. Amen. Carolyn is happily married to her husband, William Tatum. In August, they will celebrate 17 years of marriage. That's just next month. Together, they have 3 children. Carolyn Tatum, welcome to Personality Speaking.
Thank you.
I'm so excited that you decided to join me tonight. As I read your bio, we definitely have a lot in common, that we both have a heart for marriage, and we both have a heart for making sure that singles understand how to prepare themselves for marriage. So I'm so thankful that you decided to be on the show.
And thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Let's get into the topic of marrying your personality. First of all, let's talk about your personality style. What is your personality style?
My personality style is melancholy, and my second is phlegmatic.
Okay, so you're melancholy, phlegmatic. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I knew that even if I didn't know you before this conversation, I knew it because even if you read your bio says melancholy. It says because you got a degree, because most melancholies are highly educated. They have multiple degrees. And so your bio says that. And then you wrote 3 books. Really, Carolyn? 3 books?
Yeah.
Wow. That is a serious melancholy. I'm still trying to get 1 book off the shelf. Maybe we need to talk offline. How about that?
Yes, indeed.
All right, so where are you? You're from the Washington, D.C. area. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southeast until I was 9 years old, and then we moved to PG County. So I moved to PG and went to elementary, junior high, all the way through high school. I was in the Forestville, District Heights area growing up.
Okay. And so we have something in common, because when I was 9, I lived in D.C., and I moved to Maryland as well when I was 9 years old and moved to PG County. So there you go.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, we do. So when you were young, I mean, when did you give your life to Christ? Were you young when you gave your life to Christ, or were you, you know, an adult?
Yes, I was 12 when I gave my life to Christ at a church in D.C., Faith Bible Church, and that's where I got my Christian foundation, right there on Maryland Avenue, Northeast.
Oh, yeah. My sisters used to live off of Maryland Avenue in Northeast. Isn't that something? See, I told you we have a lot in common.
Yes.
So
we were traveling the same circles, and we didn't know.
Right, and never met, right?
Right.
So let me ask you this question. So you said you were 12 years old, and that doesn't surprise me, because most melancholies are very serious-minded people. They really know what they're going to do early in life. And so giving your life to Christ, I see melancholy children do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me how that transpired. How did that happen for you?
Well, my grandmother took me to church, and she had been out of church for a minute, and she was going to restore her walk and her relationship with God. And I remember it being around either Palm Sunday, a little bit before Easter that we went, and she went down to rededicate her life to the Lord. And when I learned what she was doing, I wanted to be a part too. So I went down to the altar and said, you know, I want to be saved, and gave my life to the Lord then. And I really took it seriously at the age of 12. I was striving to be the little girl or the young lady that God wanted me to be at that age. And it was a small church, so I got heavily involved in youth ministry, singing on the choir, Sunday school, teaching Sunday school, helping with Sunday school, and later becoming the youth president of the youth ministry. So from that point on, I was heavily involved in ministry, always been involved in ministry and church, and just really growing my walk with the Lord.
Amen. That's amazing, because that's, like I said, I'm not surprised at that coming from a melancholy child, because you're so serious minded. And so when you give your life to Christ, it's not something that you would take lightly as a melancholy. Even if a sanguine, we gave our life to Christ, a lot of it would be about being in ministry and having fun in the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't be as serious minded as you are, but I can see that happening, and I can see you being involved in ministry, you know, from a young age, and being serious about helping other people with their walk with Christ. And so, because for melancholies, their walk with Christ is very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you shared that. So tell me a bit about your family. You know, what's your family structure?
Well, I grew up with mom and dad, mom and stepdad. And I was blessed to have a great stepfather in my life from age 2 on up. And so I was raised in a two-parent home. And then it wasn't until I became an adult that my stepfather passed. And when I became 20, I actually met my biological father. I didn't meet my biological father until later in years. And so that was different, meeting him at the age of 20, and still not having the type of relationship that I would love to have. But I was grateful to have met him, just to know. I always said, you know, I could be running into him and would never know that I'm running into him, because I didn't know what he looked like. But I was grateful to be able to meet him. And my stepfather passed. My mom and dad are still living. And then my mom and my biological dad are still living. I have one sister who we're 9 years apart. And pretty much that was the, you know, my immediate family structure. And, you know, I got married. When I got married, I was about 29. When I got married.
Okay,
and,
so let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about before you got married at 29. Let's talk a little bit about, I want to talk about your father and your stepfather. You said your stepfather passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about personality, so I'd like to kind of get a feel for the personalities of your family members. Your mother, what would you think her personality was like? And if you don't know her personality style, just give me some traits of the kind of person she was.
Well, she is. That would be good to know what her personality is. I would say either phlegmatic or I would say maybe phlegmatic.
She's laid back.
Yeah, I would think that. Not the sanguine or maybe even either phlegmatic, or I would say either choleric. Either
okay.
one.
Okay.
If I were to guess, I don't know.
Give me some of the traits of your that can help me to identify that.
You said for phlegmatic, you said peaceful, may seem uninvolved, and I was just thinking, but she doesn't. She'll you know, tell you like it is. She doesn't bite her tongue. And I feel that way with my husband, too.
Yeah.
And so if I were to guess, I would say maybe hers is phlegmatic.
Yeah, phlegmatic. I mean, colleagues will definitely tell you what they think and how they feel, but they're very forceful with it. The phlegmatic will tell you how they feel, too, but they're very sarcastic with it. They're kind of blunt and sarcastic is how a phlegmatic is. And if she is, would you say she's very decisive or can be decisive, but most of the time is kind of, you know, goes with the flow?
I would say decisive. She knows what she's going to do. And when she says it, her mind is made up, and that's what she sticks with.
Okay. Well, that sounds more conflict than it does phlegmatic. So tell me about your dad and your stepdad. I mean, their personalities. Were they fun-loving people, or were they just quiet people? That's the kind of, you know, thing I'm looking for in terms of traits, not necessarily how I've explained them, but how you saw them when you were right
how
here.
How I saw them. Yeah, no,
exactly.
my stepfather, I'm just definitely, because when I think of that sanguine, I think of that life of the party, I think of that person that, you know, will make you laugh, always got a sense of humor, so I don't see that as the person that my stepfather was, but he was... he wasn't a person that would, he was kind of quiet, I would think. If you were in the crowd, you may think that he's quiet and reserved. I'm just trying to think of what else I would say about his personality. And I'm starting to feel like I came from a whole family of melancholies and phlegmatics.
and I'm glad you mentioned that. And let me tell you why I say that.
That's
because
what it
we
seems
find
like.
It is- Well, we find that there's trends within families. That's not uncommon. There are trends within family. Like, for instance, my parents had 10 children, and of the 10, in one combination or the other, whether we're primary or secondary, about 7 of us are cholerics. So there are trends within families, so that makes sense.
I never really thought about it that way. So we're talking about it now, but yeah, it seems like that's what the family is based. You know, I can see the similar traits in everyone.
Right. And so my mother, I believe, even though I never tested my mother, but I believe my mother was a melancholy choleric. And because she ran the show around the house. I mean, we knew my father was a melancholy phlegmatic or a phlegmatic melancholy, but he was cool, calm, collected, but he could stand his ground and say what he thought needed to happen and, you know, and make that thing happen. But most of the time he was kind of in the background. But my mother was like, the house was so neat and it was so, you know, everything had a place. Everything was in its place. She ran the show. She told us what to do, how to do it, where to do it. So you knew she was like the boss in front. My father was the boss behind the scene, but you could see that in her personality. Most of us have a choleric or melancholy personality trait within our family. So, that's what I find interesting about that. So it is trends within families. So let's talk about you and how you came to meet your husband.
Well, we both signed up to volunteer at First Baptist of Glen Art, and we both signed up to help with youth ministry. And I was probably, let's see if I got married, I was maybe 26 or 27, because we dated, we were for about 2 years. And so I would say I must have been about 26 at the time.
Okay.
And we both signed up to help with youth ministry. They were preparing for a youth retreat, and we signed up to take training to learn how to be youth advisors. And so we knew each other. We worked in youth ministry together for 2 years before he even approached me or said anything to me about being interested. I didn't know he was interested. I just knew we were both youth advisors. And it wasn't until one day I went to church, and I'll never forget, Pastor Jenkins did a special prayer for, I think it was for the singles. And he said, somebody down here is going to meet their mate tonight. And it was like the Holy Spirit prompted me and said, it's you. You're going to meet your mate. And I'm thinking, okay, am I going to meet him on the way out? Or, you know, am I going to meet him? Do I need to stop and get gas? Am I going to meet him? Where am I going to meet this man? You know, I'm thinking, where do I need to be? But I went home. I went straight home, didn't meet anybody, got in the house, checked my answering service. At that time, I had an answering service, checked the answering service, and it was a message from my husband. At that time, he was just leaving a message as somebody from youth ministry. And I called him. I said, well, it's too late to call him back tonight. No sooner than I thought that, he called me. And basically, he called to share, you know, how he had been feeling and, you know, how he had been observing me since we had been working in ministry together for 2 years. And that was kind of how our initial, you know, that's what got us started, that initial conversation.
Now, let me just ask this question. Were you ever looking at him thinking, he's somebody I could see myself talking to before Pastor Jenkins? And by the way, for those who don't know who Pastor Jenkins is, Carol and I both attend the same church, the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. So that's who Pastor Jenkins is, for those of you who might not
yes.
know. But were, yes, you, so, is, were you drawn to him at all before he called you?
Well, I mean, I thought he was a nice-looking guy, but honestly, I thought that God was going to hook me up with somebody else, somebody that I went to school with. I had gone to school with this guy and we both ended up at the same college and we were good friends. So I thought for sure that was who my husband was going to be. I wasn't even looking for anybody. I thought this guy that I went to school with, I thought would be my husband. And so when I would see my husband William in youth ministry, I just wasn't thinking of him in that way. And he was single, and I saw, you know, when you see a single guy, if he's anywhere near nice looking and he's at church, there seem to be a lot of women sometimes that flock around them.
Sure.
And so I saw women around him and in his presence, and it just made me go the opposite. It was just like, oh, you know, they're always around him. So I didn't even give it a thought. And one of my good girlfriends, she said, you know, she saw him one day and she said, whoever gets him, they're going to get a good man because he's a servant. And we would always see him serving, him helping out. He was helping with the senior citizens. He would help wheel the wheelchairs in, and he would serve in the van ministry. And, you know,
wow.
We would just see him serving. And she said, he's a servant. He's going to take care of whoever his wife is. And I was just like, yeah, you know, and didn't think anything of it.
Right. Wow.
Because I was like, God, you know, I already know who my husband is going to be. So I thought.
Yeah, right. So tell me this. When he called you that night, what was your reaction to the fact that he's saying to you, this is how I felt and I've been observing you? And, you know, what was your reaction to that?
Well, at first I wasn't really excited because a few, maybe 2 weeks before he called me, the guy that I thought was going to be my husband had called, and basically he was out of town. He was living out of town, and he basically told me that he had met someone and they were serious and he was going to be getting married. And so my heart was broken because I had these dreams and thoughts of how we were going to get together, and basically he just burst my bubble, and I was heartbroken. And so I spent a lot of time crying and praying, and I was just, after I was getting through it, in my mind I felt like, look, I'm not interested in nobody. I'm just going to tighten up my walk with God. I'm going to get even closer to God. I don't care if he, you know, if it's just me and Jesus, that's how it's going to be. And I'm just not interested in anybody right now. I'm just going to focus on my walk with God. And that was the place that I was in when my husband actually called. And so when he told me how he felt, I was in a hurt mode. And I said,
wow.
Look, I just came out of a relationship. I'm hurt. And, you know, I'm just numb. I'm not interested in anybody. I'm just numb right now. And so I came off kind of harsh because I was hurt. And my husband responded by saying, well, I'm not going to sweat you.
Well, okay then.
Those were his words exactly. I think he was hurt by my response. You know, I've been observing you for 2 years, and I tell you how I feel, and you're going to tell me, you know, you know.
Wow. That's
so
wild.
He said that, but then he ended up calling me every single night after that.
Oh, so he said it, but then he started to sweat you anyway.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
Now, of course, if your husband was on this show tonight, I wonder if he would have the same stories, because, you know, men tend to have a different story than we do.
Yes. He told me that his feelings was hurt when I came off like that. That was his response. That was his immediate response. Well, look, I'm not going to be sweating you.
Yeah, but he didn't give up because he heard a word.
Yes.
He heard a word. He was going to be talking to meeting his wife tonight.
Yes, and he always says that he went to the leader of the youth ministry, who was Reverend Berkeley at our church. He went to him. He told him how he felt about me, and he told him this like 2 years before he even approached me. And so Reverend Berkeley told him, look, he told Reverend Berkeley, look, I'm interested in this girl, Carolyn Osby, and she, you know, she works with youth ministry. And so Reverend Berkeley told him, look, she is serious about her walk with God, and if you're going to approach her, you got to come correct. So, don't come with her with no foolishness, you know, anything. So my husband said he spent those 2 years working on his walk with God.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. And see, that's some of the stuff that I think people need to hear as they prepare themselves for a relationship, is that it's not just about finding that cute guy, that nice guy, that funny guy, that rich guy, that whatever guy. It is about finding that God-centered man, the man who puts God first, and then seeks to find that good thing, you know, in the wife.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you shared that. So go ahead.
Yeah, he said that, you know, at the time he had, you know, a girl here, a girl there. He was sexually active. And so when he had that talk with Reverend Berkeley, he realized that he had to get right with God and stop playing and get serious. So he went through a discipleship program. He cut off the sex and abstained for 2 years. And so he really became serious about his walk and doing what God would have him to do. And so when he felt like he had been doing that for 2 years, he prayed about the timing, then he could approach me.
Amen. I love that. So tell me a little bit about your husband's personality. I'm blown away by the fact that a man saw that he wanted to be in a relationship with you. He sought counsel. Counsel said, get yourself together because she ain't going to play with you. And by the way, for those listening, melancholies are always seeking an ideal mate. They have high standards for themselves and for other people. So you weren't going to just take any joker who wanted to be with you. You were looking for somebody who was going to meet at least the spiritual criteria, you know, most of all. So that's what I find interesting. But tell me about his personality. Tell me, you know, about your husband.
Well, he is, when you see him, when people see him, they say, oh, your husband looks so serious. Oh, I just thought he was a serious guy. But then once they get to know him or they take a class with us, they say, I didn't know he had such a sense of humor. Oh, my goodness, he is so funny. You know, and he's a lot of times is known to say what people are thinking but are afraid to say. You know, he's that person that when we were in youth ministry, he would be in the meeting and he would say what everybody wanted to say, but we were too afraid to say. And, you know, he just has a way and he'll put it out there. But he is a servant at heart. I mean, That's what I love about him. He, you know, he has become, over the last few years, he was selected to be a deacon. And when he was selected to be a deacon, they came to me to ask me, what did I think about it? Did I approve? And I could truly say yes, because to be a deacon means to be a servant. And I said, he serves me well. He serves me well, so I don't have any problems with him serving in the house of the Lord. You know, so that's what I would say about him. I would say one of my fears in selecting a mate or getting a mate was, I knew how much I loved God. I knew how much I wanted to work in ministry, and I didn't want to marry someone who I would have to, who would suppress that, you know, or somebody that wouldn't be on board with me being as active in ministry as I am, or, you know, I can't go to church tonight because he's not in agreement. So it meant a lot for me to have somebody who was serious about their walk with God.
Amen, amen. And I can tell you that you and I have talked about your husband's personality traits, and it sounds like to me, based on our conversation, that he's probably a phlegmatic sanguine, because phlegmatics are also very compassionate about people, and they really will get, you know, do service because they care about what happens to people. So, and people love phlegmatics. I always say on my show that every family needs a phlegmatic, because a phlegmatic is cool, calm, and collected, but also it's a loving, caring personality style. So that's what it sounded like to me when you were describing him to me, you know, prior to this show tonight. So let's talk a little bit more about, okay, so now he's now calling you every night because he's like, this is going to be my wife, whether she is wounded or not. She better lick her wounds and realize this is going to be my wife. So as you were, you know, trying to lick your wounds and feel better about the fact that the husband you thought you were going to have was not the one that God had really was sending to you, this man who's calling you every night, when did it turn a page for you? When did you realize that, oh, yeah, this could be my husband?
I think, you know, I didn't realize that he was observing me as long as he was, you know, that he knew 2 years ago, and that he was using that two-year time to strengthen his walk with God, you know, that he was serious about it. And I just had, you know, I was praying, I had a prayer partner, and I kept asking God, you know, for confirmation to just let me know that this is the person that you have for me. And he gave me confirmation and confirmation after confirmation. So the biggest thing was that I had a prayer partner who was praying for a mate as well. I mean, I was praying for a mate. She was praying for this dream house that she had. She was already married. And so we prayed together for this big thing that I wanted, this big thing that she wanted. And God allowed us to get what we wanted, and they were coming from the same place. Little did I know, to make a long story short, my prayer partner, her dream home ended up being in my husband's hometown. And so the two of us were praying. Now, we're both praying for these big things in our lives. I'm praying for my mate. She's praying for a dream house. And little did I know, her prayer was that God would give us both what we wanted, but that they would come from the same place.
Wow.
And the reason that she prayed that was because the guy that I thought I was going to marry lived in California somewhere. And that would, if I were to marry him, it would have meant that, you know, I was going to be moving, I was going to be relocating and all of that. So she prayed and asked God, you know, can you give us both what we want and they come from the same place? And that was really a miracle, because my husband is from a little country area called Heathsville, Virginia. And it's 2.5 hours away. So the fact that she found a house there in his hometown, God answered that prayer.
Wow, that is amazing.
It was amazing. But that was confirmation for me.
Yeah, and that's good for everybody to hear too, because, you know, God answers. He's in the job of answering prayers, and I think that a lot of times when things are going, you know, not the way we think they should, like, for instance, you and the guy you thought you were going to marry, we don't always get what we think we're going to get. It's always for our good. And that's why that scripture, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and all the call according to his purpose, is one of my favorite scriptures, because it may not look like what we think it's going to look like. But God is always in the business of giving us what we need and not necessarily always what we think we want, because we don't know really what God knows. Yeah. So I think that's awesome. All right. So that's
And now I can look back and say, thank God you didn't give me that, you know?
Amen, right? You think at
some prayers you don't want him to answer.
Right. And you think at the time you're thinking, Lord, why couldn't you just give me so-and-so and such? And then years later you're going, Lord, have mercy. Thank you so much for not giving me that.
Exactly. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm.
All right. So how long did you and your husband court before you got married?
Actually, it wasn't. We courted for a year. We courted for a year. Yeah, we started around in August, and then we married in August. So it didn't take long. It didn't take long, before we knew that, before he knew. I mean, he said he had already heard a word from God. So it didn't take me long to get on board to see God and to hear that, you know, this was the one that he would have me to be with. And once we both knew that, shortly thereafter, we started looking into getting premarital counseling.
Amen. And let me ask you this question, because, you know, like I said, the show is about personality. So people like to know about your personalities and how your personalities mesh and that kind of thing. So while you were going through your premarital counseling, were there some things about each other's personality that you found that was wonderful, that you were so happy that you had that personality trait that you could mesh with? And were there things about the personality trait of your spouse and him about you that were challenging for each other?
Yes. Well, the challenge for me was just when I say that he says the things that people will hold back from saying, he doesn't bite his tongue. For me, that was the challenge with the personality, because in the early part of us seeing each other, he would be saying something and I would be in tears.
Right.
I would just be sitting there crying like, I don't believe he's saying it that way. Why does he have to say it like that, you know?
Right.
And it took me a while to get tough skin by me analyzing words, and, you know, it's a big thing on words and the words that you choose, and why did he say it that way, and what did he mean when he said it that way? It took me a minute to get tough skin, to realize that, you know, he didn't really mean harm, and you know, that's just the way he says things sometimes. So that was a challenge with the whole personality piece. The fact that he's genuine about his walk with God, and really a peaceful kind of guy. That was the plus. You know, not a lot of arguing. We get along well. And so that made our personalities work well together in that sense, made it the relationship easy.
So let me share with the listeners that the challenging aspects with him just saying whatever he was thinking and not really thinking about the words and how they impacted you. Phlegmatics are very blunt, and they're very a matter of fact, and they don't always think about the impact that it has on a person. It's pretty much like a sanguine as well. He has a double dose of that. He has the blunt, phlegmatic, and, you know, sarcastic, phlegmatic aspect. But then he also has the not really thinking about the impact to others, sanguine aspect. And you, on the other hand, as you said, melancholy is really, first of all, you're highly intelligent people. And so you think about words and the meaning of words. And so when somebody says something and they don't really mean it exactly the way you think they mean it, but you're looking at the strict definition of the word, then it becomes very hurtful to you, and then you hold on to that hurt and that pain, and it's difficult for you to move forward. And you remember that. You don't forget it, so you hold on to stuff. So I want to add some
that. Yeah, that can be very damaging when it comes down to your sex life, your intimacy, because you are still holding on to that word that was said that didn't hurt your feelings. And if you don't learn to let it go, you know, for me, I have to process it. I have to have a conversation and say, well, what did you mean by that, you know?
Right.
And, you know, or that really hurt my feelings when you said it that way. I have to have a conversation to process it, and then I can move on. But you have to learn how to deal with that aspect of your personality, because you'll be walking around holding grudges, you know, and you can't get past it.
That's right. And I'm glad you said that, Carolyn, too, because it is important for people to understand, especially from a melancholy. Melancholies, they have to get beyond the pain before they can get to an intimate state. Now, most people have to do that, but melancholies especially have to be able to work that thing out and understand that you didn't mean a certain way, and even if you did mean it, that you are sorry for what you said or how you said it, because it is hard for you to be intimate in a physical way when you're still holding on to emotional pain. And that can happen for most people. Now, before we continue this conversation, I want to make sure that if people have comments, that they know how to ask their questions. If you want to call in, you can ask your question by dialing 929-477-1876. Press 1. We have a screener. It's my sister, Connie. She's going to put you in the screening room. She's going to ask you the nature of your question or comment, your name and the area you're calling from, so that we're able to, you know, recognize you and ask, allow you to ask the question of Carolyn or myself. I'm about the topic of marriage or preparing yourself for marriage or personalities. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Press 1 to ask your question or to comment. In addition to that, I wanted to make sure that you can post on my Facebook page at facebook.com/personalityspeaking. If you got the e-vite through Facebook, you can post your comments or questions there. And in the chat room, you can also post your comments and questions there. We'll be checking all of those. I've seen a lot of comments posted since we've been communicating. This is such an interesting topic. I love talking about marriage. I love talking about preparing people for marriage. I think it's critical for people to understand who God created them to be and how He's going to use that even in your marriages and in your relationships and in your preparation for marriage. So, Carolyn, I'm so happy that you're on the call to talk about this exciting topic tonight. And I know I already have people pinging on the phone to ask a question, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But anyway, so thank you again for talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, it does affect your intimacy with your mate when you're holding on as a melancholy, when you're holding on to those hurts and that pain. You really got to work through it and forgive.
Yes. And I just wanted to add that it's so important that I didn't learn my personality trait until after I got married, some years after I got married. My husband didn't learn his until some years after we got married. But if you can learn it beforehand, I just think you can make a wise choice. It can help you. It can save a lot of arguments that you can have. It just gives you a better understanding up front from the simplest things. And I always use this as an example, but many times when we're going to an event, my husband would send me into the CVS and say, you know, get a card. You go get a card, or pick out a card for my mother, or pick out a card for my sister. I go in to pick out the card, and I'm in there for a while. And he, you know, he's seen four or five people that came out the store since I went in. And by the time I get back in the car, he's like, "When in the world took you so long? I've been seeing five people come in and out the store, and you were still in there. What were you doing? And you just came out with one card?" You know, and so, you know, we're talking, having this argument about why it took me so long to pick out one card. It wasn't until I learned my temperament that I learned why I struggle with that. I mean, I'm looking at all the cards, trying to pick the best card. I'm looking at the words. I'm trying to see, does those words tell the truth? Is that really what I want to say? You know, And right. once we learn the temperaments and we learn how melancholy operates, and my husband learned it, he said, okay, so we need to switch jobs. I will pick out the cards from now on.
Right. I love that. I love that. Because, and I think that's important, too, because words just mean so much more to a melancholy. That's why you guys write books, because you're able to express yourself. And like you said, did the card tell the truth? Now, see, a sanguine will pick up a card and they'll say, you know, happy birthday. We hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you're having fun. That's, you know, that's all we care about. And I can't tell you how many cards I picked up that said happy 50th birthday for somebody who was 25. Or they had something in the card that was an anniversary card and it was supposed to be a, you know, a birthday card. Because I'm not a I don't read and I don't care to read, and I just go in and I see a pretty card and I go, oh, this one reminds me of her. Let me get that card. But you would never do that. So I love that. So tell us why you decided to write the books that you've written, Marriage from A to Z. Now you also, you said you also have the workbook, and now you're working on something, Marriage from A to Z for Singles. So tell me how you got involved with deciding to write anything about marriage and preparing people for marriage.
Well, my husband and I, we started a group in our home, newlywed get-together in our home. Shortly after, I don't know if it was about 5 years of marriage, it's, I think when we started this group, one of our goals was to make the marriage work. We wanted to have a successful marriage, and, you know, we wanted to learn God's way of having a marriage. And so that's why we took classes, and we read books, and we went to conferences. And so once we started learning God's principles towards marriage, we said, you know what, we want to share this. If we started sharing what we learned, maybe we could help some other people to stay together. Maybe some marriages wouldn't get divorced. And so we decided that we were going to make a commitment that whatever we learned, we were going to share it with some other couples. So we developed a once a month get together in our home. And we would pick a topic. We're going to invite some couples over. We're going to have a potluck meal, and we're going to discuss whatever we learn. And so we did that once a month, and we have been doing that for 12 years in our home, every month except for August. We've been meeting. And so after doing it for so many years, one of the couples said to us, you know, you really need to start putting this stuff in a book, because everybody can't come to your house, and this is some good stuff. You know, and I thought, you know, that's a good idea, but I'm not a writer, you know. And really, I just never had the dream of writing a book. I write all the time, journaled all the time, but just never thought about writing a book. And through his challenge, you know, God planted a seed. And then 2 years later, I ran into a friend. She was the author. She gave me the same challenge, okay? You need to put your stuff in the book. And so she took it a step further and said she was going to hold me accountable, that every month she was going to call me and see how many pages I had written. And she was serious about it. So it was her. I have my good friend Yvonne to thank for keeping tabs on me every month. And she did this until I finished. And it took me about 2 years to finish the first book. And so we wanted to put the principles in the book for people to be able to, you know, get some godly principles. And if they couldn't come to our house, they could read the book. We could send the book all over. And that was how the book came about. There was a group in Atlanta who decided to use the book for a wives group. And she called me and said, you know what, it would be great if we had some questions to go along with these principles. And so as a result of that, I developed the Marriage from A to Z study guide, which consists of questions and space to journal. And that was how the second book was birthed. Mm-hmm. And just this summer, the Marriage from A to Z for Singles is a workbook was developed out of me doing the class for singles. We offered a class here at First Baptist Church of Glen Arden for singles, and 100 women signed up for the class.
Wow.
And all of these women, some of them didn't even have a man or anybody in the picture. They just want to know how to be a godly wife. you know.
Amen.
And where else can you go to learn how to be a godly wife before you get married?
Right. You said 100 women showed up. What about the men? Did any men show up?
Well, because this class was offered under a women's focus study,
gotcha.
it was only advertised to women. And so 100 women signed up for the class. The class went so well until we used the book, Marriage from A to Z. So what we did was we took each principle and we looked at how can we relate it, what can they learn from the principles now as a single person, even though the book is titled Marriage from A to Z. We looked at each principle and what they could do now to prepare themselves. And so we were able to use the same book, but when it came down to some of the questions and some of the things that they needed to reflect on, they needed their own workbook. The singles needed their own workbook, and that's why this summer I developed a workbook specifically for singles. And so it asks questions to help singles, check themselves, check their relationship with God, as well as look at preparing to be with someone else.
Amen. I think that's awesome. That's amazing. And I can tell you, it's so funny how you can go to a church and never meet a person the whole time. And you've been at First Baptist how long?
Wow, I came in 94.
Okay. And I've been at First Baptist, it's been about 15 years, maybe even longer than that. I think I've been saved for 15 years, so maybe 17 years I've been at First Baptist. And I've never met you until recently, until we had a mutual friend, Dr. Celeste Owens, who introduced, because we are working, I'm working with the Vince and Joy ministry to put on a couples conference. And then Dr. Celeste Owens was like, you need to meet Carolyn Tatum because, you know, she does this thing at church, Marriage from A to Z, and she wants to do a singles conference. And I thought, oh, okay. Well, I have a heart for the singles too, because Dr. Celeste and I had actually taught a class last year, the year before last, can't remember exactly when, called Surrender Your Singleness, and it was to talk. Her portion was talking about people who had a heart who believed that they were going to be single, and then my part was talking to people who believed that God is calling them to be married. It was called Marrying Your Personality. And so she said that you were doing this, and I thought, well, yeah, we need to talk. So now we're working together on a singles conference. So
yes,
I'm so excited. Right, and now you're working with us on the marriage conference as well. So I thank God for divine connections and what he's doing in that. I want to bring some folks on the line. We have a couple of questions. Let's try to take those now. For those of you who still might have questions, you can dial in at 929-477-1876. Again, that number is 929-477-1876. Press 1 to comment or ask your question. My sister Connie will screen you to find out where you're calling from and what you want to talk about. We have Alicia from Baltimore on the line. She's a comment regarding both marriage and being single. Welcome to Personality Speaking, Alicia.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, welcome.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Hello, how are you? Yes, I just want to say I've been enjoying the show, and it's like so on point listening because I am both single and trying to further my knowledge in marriage. You know, and I have been taking classes and courses and been doing my reading from this because I know I want to go in not only God-centered, but on his will as well. Because that's what a marriage is emulating, that union between God and his bride. But before we can get intimate with the man, we have to get intimate with God.
Amen.
You know, so that's where my focus is at, and that's where my journey is at right now, and it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to get to know me and who I am in his life, as well as who he is in my life.
So, Alicia, tell everybody what you think your personality style is.
I think I'm melancholy.
Yeah. And
I
asked that question because, as I said before, melancholies are serious about their relationship with God. And so it's usually very... First of all, melancholies always are seeking an ideal mate. But
yes.
Also, the fact that you're serious about your relationship with God, I have not met one melancholy woman that has a relationship with God and is serious about their relationship with God that is not looking for a man to be serious about his walk with God as well.
Exactly.
Would that be true about
you? He has to be. There's no compromise in that, you know, because it's not about me and displeasing myself, because this union has to be God-ordained in his will, whatever he has for this will.
Yeah.
You know, his will has to be done in our marriage as well. And again, he wants us to be happy, but, you know, it's his plan, you know, for
Amen.
That perfect marriage, for that perfection, you know. So that's what I'm looking for, and I'm learning how not to go by my preconceived notion, you know,
Amen.
Or what I want, how he looks, his physique, and things of that nature, because it could be totally opposite.
Right.
Get the perfect
Absolutely.
One for me.
Mm-hmm. And
that's, you know, so that's I'm trying to keep things, open-minded.
That's one of the things I liked about what Carolyn was saying, that she thought in her mind that the person she was going to be with was this other guy. And
mm-hmm.
but that was the God's
mm-hmm.
plan for her, and it wasn't until she had to surrender that to God that she was able to really have her eyes open to see that the man that God had for her was watching her for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was at. I just had an incident where I was at church, and the gentleman, he was, you know, he started speaking to me, and hello, sweetie, like, you know me for years, and I was not instantly attracted to him, but he was a nice gentleman. And so I always kept conversation with him because he was a brother in Christ. And as weeks going on, he started saying more personal things to me. I'm like, all right, well, you know, I don't think you're the one for me. I don't want to give you the wrong perception. And so, again, time went on, and we just started talking more and more. So this one particular day, he was he had quite a few physical disabilities, and he was
mm-hmm.
going through surgeries, different type of surgeries. And so the Holy Spirit told me to tell him that he was going to be totally healed.
Amen.
And I'm like, Lord, no, he can't do nothing for me. I'm going to be honest. I'm a young woman. Well, I'm going to say I'm young. I'm poor, you know, I ain't going to go there, but, you know, so I'm vibrant in certain areas, you know, and I'm like, he can't do anything for me, Lord. What's going on, you know? And so when the Holy Spirit said, well, okay, he's going to be totally healed, and I told him, I said, well, seriously, you're going to, well, no, I didn't tell him. I kept it to myself because that's what the Spirit told me. And the next time he walked in that church, he walked in with no pain, no nothing.
Amen.
He walked in as if nothing ever happened.
Wow.
And in the meantime, he's constantly, you know, complimenting me. Hey, babe, you know what I'm saying? He wasn't out of order or anything. He was just like, wow, like he knew me for years. And so he was talking to me, and he started working out, and he's like, well, I'm working out with you. You know, like he was really preparing himself for me. And so
right.
we kind of lost touch. Because I wasn't going to chase him. That's not my job to do so.
Amen,
so
amen.
Maybe a few months later, a prophetess came to me. She was like, you know what? She said, God sent you a husband, but you rejected him. And that was him. I never told her anything about him. And I knew in my heart that was him.
Wow.
So you never know, and that taught me a lot because,
right.
you know, because of my preconceived notion.
That's right.
You know, you
That's
never
right.
know. And he was a beautiful gentleman. You know, he played basketball overseas. That's why he had, you know, certain injuries. And so he stopped playing, and he started, you know, opening up little sports activities for the kids and things of that nature.
Amen.
And as we were talking, we had so many things in common. But because of my closed mindedness, because of those preconceived notions, I lost
right.
a gift from God. But I said I would never do that again. So that pushed me to get further knowledge,
right.
so, you know what I mean,
right.
on myself as well as the opposite.
So what's your thoughts about this, Carolyn, what Alicia is saying?
Yeah, I think that it's just something that you, which she basically said, you don't always know which way God is going to bring your mate. And you don't. Sometimes you have this idea of what he's going to look like, what he's going to act like, and all of those things. But we really have to be open to who God has for us, and give it some time so that God can speak and confirm, you know, who he has for us. And I think it's a good thing to, you know, to have some people in your life, some authorities in your life that you can also run that person by. To see, you know, to make sure that you, sometimes we can be so gung-ho or we're so glued on this particular person And you haven't taken that person around anybody else yet. I think it's good to have some other people in your life and some people who know these personalities to help you. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. Karen is on it with just being able to run down how the different personalities. And I think that gives you something to think about when you have other people in your life that can help to either confirm or say, you know, you really need to think about this right. when it comes to selecting this person or being with this person.
Exactly. Amen. And I even had fellow church members to come with me who I was kind of close to tell me, Alicia, don't sleep on him because he's in this steady improving himself. So, I was selfish in my motive. I was still overlooking it. And I looked at what God had for me and what was God doing in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I said it would never happen.
Thank you for that comment, but I could tell you that I think you have let a lot of people hear your heart on this and that you cannot sleep on God. When God is giving you something, you need to make sure you have an ear to hear what God is saying to you about whomever, whether that be a relationship in terms of a potential spouse, a job, or whatever. You got to keep your ear to where God is speaking to you and knowing that whatever plan he has for you is always going to be better for you than whatever you think you got for you.
That's right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much for calling in. We have another caller, and I'm going to put you on hold, Alicia, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, so we have Sherry from Bowie. Sherry, welcome to Personality Speaking.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good. This is the first time I've ever called in, and I'm so glad that I did.
Me too.
So my question is, you actually just answered it when you said that sometimes you have to have an open ear, because I put down on my piece of paper, does it really make sense that, you know, I'm definitely working on my walk with God and I'm totally focused on that and working on me, but then at the same time I'm praying that God sends me someone, you know, that's doing the same thing, but then I am kind of quick to analyze, like Carolyn was saying, I'm very quick to analyze, and I remember Pastor Jenkins saying one time during Bible study sometime last year, and he was saying that if somebody doesn't mention God or in the first 2 weeks or, like, I think he said the first 2 weeks or the first week of meeting them, that you need to run. So I'm really quick at analyzing, and then, you know, because I am very strong in my faith, and I don't want anybody to, like, come and interrupt that. So I'm really quick to run, and I guess, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, but you answered it when you said, Karen, that I guess you really have to just be open to hearing,
right.
You know, God when he says. Because I guess the right one will be the right one, but, you know, so, and I think because I'm such a peaceful phlegmatic, is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, peaceful phlegmatic.
Yeah, so definitely just, you know, I just want peace, and I just want to be able to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, and, you know, so.
But you also sound melancholy, too, Sherry. Yeah, so you probably are phlegmatic melancholy. And the reason why I say you sound melancholy is because you already said I'm quick to analyze. And this is the problem, and this is probably the same issue that that Alicia had, the previous caller, and that even Carolyn had, is that we tend to analyze and overanalyze as melancholies. You'll tend to overanalyze a situation to the point where you will miss your opportunity.
Right.
Yep.
And so, that could be where you find yourself if you're not careful to make sure you're hearing from God because, you know, as I said before, melancholies have high expectations of people. They have high expectations of themselves. They can't even meet their own expectations, let alone somebody else meeting their expectations.
Right.
So you have to be careful to make sure that, you know, you are, if God is saying this is a person, don't keep, you know, okay, Lord, I know you told me this is a person. Give me a sign. Okay, Lord, he gives you that sign. Okay, Lord, I know you said this is, but if that's really the person, give me a sign. So right. Just be conscious of that. Kellen, do you have anything you want to add to this?
Yeah, I think they say, you know, the saying goes, you can analyze so much that you become paralyzed.
Yeah.
And so you're afraid to move. You're afraid to take a step because you have thought things, every possible thing through. You've analyzed, you know, so much. So we have to be careful at that. But I do get what you're saying when you say, you know, just wanting to meet someone that's serious about their walk with God is so important. But usually it'll come out. It comes out in their conversation. It comes out in their lifestyle. If you're around the person for any length of time, you know, it's going to come out. It doesn't mean they're perfect, but, you know, you have to start observing and seeing, you know, what are the signs that you see.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, and I'm definitely going to have to take advantage of the A to Z class for singles, I think you said you have at the church.
Yeah, so the way that we teach it every other year, so since we taught it last year, we will not have it this year, but you can take advantage of the singles conference that we're going to be having on September the 26th, and we'll be talking more about that. It'll be a one-day event where you can come, you can get the book, Marriage from A to Z for Singles, and you can spend the day with us as we prepare singles through a conference.
Amen.
All right, well, I'll be there.
All right, thank you, Sherry, for calling in. I'm going to put you back on mute, okay? All right, thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who really need what you have to offer. And I'm so thankful that God led you this way, because it's so funny when you said, I didn't think I was going to write a book. I didn't think I was a writer. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not what we think we are. God is what makes us who we are. And
yes,
even
with
me, I know that when the Lord gave me Couple for Life, and he said trade name Couple for Life, and I remember writing it out, and I wrote it out, you know, the paperwork for it. And at the end of that, and I was saying, you know, conferences, retreats, workshops, and he said, and books. And I said, and books.
So you sound like me.
I don't want to do no books. What are you talking about, Lord? And books.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was hilarious. But God, you know, we have to allow him to orchestrate our lives. If we do what we want to do, it's always going to end up a mess. So we might
That's right.
Just submit ourselves to God and do what he wants us to do. So, Before I get into my personality points to ponder, is there anything else you want the listeners to know about Marriage from A to Z and what's next on the agenda for you and, you know, what you got going on?
Yes, so every week I write a weekly blog, and I would love for people to follow on the blog at marriagefromatoz.org. And when you go on to the blog, you can click on follow and put your email address in there, and that way we can be forever connected. Every Tuesday, we send out a message to help strengthen relationships, marriages, and even information for singles. So that's one way that you can follow. And when you go to marriagefromatoz.org, there's the book trailer for Marriage from A to Z, and it tells you a little bit more information about the book. And I will be posting when the Marriage from A to Z for Singles book comes out on there. So by you following the blog, that would be a way to stay connected and, you know, to get connected with the book. And I'm so excited that Karen and I will be working together for a Singles and Marriage Conference. The Singles Conference will be on September the 26th, and the Marriage Conference will be on October the 24th. So we're going to be doing this conference in a couple of months, and we'll be having more information that comes forth. But the blog will be a way to stay connected, and we'll have that information posted through the blog as well.
Thank you so much. I'm excited about that. Also, you mentioned something else, and you said that you're doing this still in your home. It's that newlywed support group that you have in your home. Is that open for other people to join, or is that something that's closed, or how does that work?
Usually it's just by us meeting the newlyweds that we meet. Normally we meet them through church and or somebody tells somebody, and then we let them know, you know, when we meet, and we usually meet the third or fourth Saturday. We're going to be doing it through the rest of this year. And then in January, we're actually starting a newlywed discipleship program, which that will be at the church. But if anyone is interested, they can certainly email me at marriagefromatoz at gmail.com. Marriagefromatoz at gmail.com will be a way to connect with me by email.
Amen. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for being on the show. I want to talk a little bit. You're welcome. I want to talk a little bit about our personality points to ponder. Now, sanguines, we want everything to be fun and sunshine, but I found this quote that kind of sums it up for sanguines. It says, "No relationship is all about is all sunshine, but two people can share one umbrella and survive the storm together." I love that.
Oh, that's good. I love that too.
Cholerics are driven, high-achieving personalities, but this quote by DaveWillis.org states, "Always strive to give your spouse the very best of yourself, not what's left over after you've given your best to everyone else." How about that for cholerics? Melancholics are always striving for perfection, but there's only perfection in Christ. This quote states, "A perfect marriage is just two imperfect people who refuse to give up on one another." Now, finally, the phlegmatic tends to give minimal effort in their relationship. Quote offers a solution. Marriage is not 50-50. Divorce is 50-50. Marriage is to be 100-100. It isn't dividing everything in half, but giving everything you've got. Amen. Now, being married is not easy for any personality style, but it is definitely worth the effort and energy that you put into it. We must work to honor God in our relationships, and one way of doing that is putting your mate's needs above your own. Well, that's it for our show. Thank you again, Carolyn Tatum, the author of Marriage from A to Z, for joining us tonight. If you want to learn more about your personality style or you want to purchase a personality assessment, you can log on to my website at www.beyond2llc.com. That's beyond2llc.com. To get future information about the show, you can follow me on blogtalkradio.com/personalityspeaking. You can also follow me on facebook.com/personalityspeaking. And Twitter.com, P like Peter, E-R, speaking. Personality Speaking airs every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our next show airs next Thursday, July 23rd, and features a new author, Tia Titus, and she is going to be on our show entitled An Unexplainable Personality. Remember, Personality Speaking is designed to help you reconcile your relationships one personality at a time. Thank you, everyone. Good night, and God bless you.